Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Front Lines, your national movement building show here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, and on the web at www.kpfk.org. I'm your guest co-host today. My name is Manuel Criollo. I'm here for Eric Mann for this week. A lot of the show is dedicated today to the struggles around education, and we have Erica Brooks, who is the education manager at the Dolores Huerta Foundation. Erica, who was born and raised in Nicaragua, who did really important work in Nicaragua, has been over the last couple of years in the Kern County area, training parents in Kern County and Chaleur County, everything from ranges of educational justice to issues around restorative justice and ending the school to jail track. The Dolores Huerta Foundation, along with many legal and other important organizations in the area of Kern County, are leading an important struggle around ending school to jail track issues in Kern County, where primarily Black and Latino students are facing some very harsh set of disciplines and sort of a pre-prison conditions in their schools. And the Dolores Huerta Foundation is leading an important civil rights lawsuit against many of the school districts in Kern County to begin to address some of these issues. So welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you.
Erica, why don't you give maybe some context about the area around Kern, you know, who lives in Kern, what's the makeup of Kern, and sort of what has been the set of struggles in Kern County around these issues, around harsh discipline, around the school to jail track?
Yes, the Dolores Huerta Foundation has been doing a lot of community organizing in Kern County, mostly in the south part of Kern County, which is mostly rural communities, a lot of farm workers, that live there, Spanish-speaking parents that immigrate from Mexico and other parts of Central and South America, and Bakersfield, it has a lot of immigrant population as well. So mostly, I would say like the more than 65% of the school districts are a population of immigrants, people of colors, African-American, and Latino students.
Obviously, the Strategy Center does a lot of work around the school-to-prison pipeline here in Los Angeles. We've led a lot of important struggles against the ticketing and arrests of young people, trying to really break the whole entire apparatus of the criminal justice system in the schools. We've obviously supported a lot of work statewide around trying to address a lot of these issues. Why don't you talk to us about some of the real sort of consequences of what's playing out in Kern County for mainly Black and Latino students in that area?
Yes. Like I said, we have been out doing a lot of community organizing for the Dolores Huerta Foundation has been present in Kern County for the last 10 years, but our education work started like 3 years ago, focusing most on education. We started having these house meeting campaign, talking to the families and listening to their stories, collecting their testimonies, and we found out that a lot of people were talking about school discipline and the issues that they were having with the current high school district. And now we have parents and students convention, and we hear their testimonies. We hear a lot of parents talking about the struggles that they were having. Like, you know, they were asked to go to school and asked to sign papers that they didn't understand. The documents that they were asked to sign were not in the language that they understand. So stories like that, and what we're seeing in Kern County is that it's disproportionately and implicit bias from the current high school district. We're seeing students be treated different, Latinos and African American students being suspended or expelled for reasons that white students are not, and basically the use of educational policies and practices that have the effect that is pushing students, especially, like I said, students of colors and students with disabilities out of the schools and into the juvenile court system. And in other cases, even if the student, you know, these students receive hard discipline and are transferred to a general school or a continuation school, and we're seeing stories that these students are most likely to drop out and less likely to graduate on time. And, of course, these students are not, they don't have the opportunity to get an employment later. So this is where we see in this track, like the school to prison or the school to nowhere, as some people call it, too.
I know that one of the important figures in a story, in some ways, I know that she's covered a lot of our stories here in Los Angeles, has been a reporter at the Center for Public Integrity, where I know one of the big exposés she talked a lot about was the issue around willful defiance. As you know, here in Los Angeles, the Strategy Center, with many of our sort of allies in the Brothers Sons Selves Coalition, we were able to pass a school climate bill of rights last year, and that bill of rights, in essence, banned the use of willful defiance as a suspendable offense. We know that for too long, schools were using sort of day-to-day misbehavior inside the school setting to suspend young people, and of course it wasn't shouldered equally. It fell heavily on black students, and just sort of the literal bias, but I would say the literal prejudice that some of our teachers often display in relationship to black students and students of color. One of the things that people didn't know about the educational code around willful defiance is that it wasn't just a suspendable offense, which was already bad enough because it pushed you away from school. But as I understand, also in the area of Kern, it could also meant that you could have gotten expelled from school for being willfully defiant inside this classroom. Is that right?
Yes. We actually, code of conduct at Kern High School District, that's something that we're trying to raise to the discipline code that Kern High School District is using, was last updated in May of 2003. So that's more than 10 years ago. And yes, the willful defiance is suspended cause or an expulsion cause by the first offense. So, for example, if a student, we have a story. I'm going to give you a story. So a student, the teacher asked to pick up trash from the floor, and the student was having a bad day, and she refuses to do so. So that cause gave the student an expulsion for a whole school year. Just for the first offense, she was just having a bad day, and that first offense bring this student to be expelled from the school for a whole full school year. So willful defiance for us in Kern is a huge, huge issue. We're seeing students being suspended for what it's called profanity. You know, we can call profanity to pretty much anything. So, yes, willful defiance is a big thing. And in 2000, like, although the school district said that they have lowered their suspension and expulsion, the last data that we have show that, 7.6 per 100 of white students were suspended for willful defiance, while 27.6 per 100 African-American students were suspended for the same cause, willful defiance, and at 13.8 per 100 of Latino students. So we're seeing how that disparities work here, so for the same causes.
And I also understand we're speaking to Erica Brooks, who is the educational manager at the Dolores Huerta Foundation, an important organization out in the area of the San Joaquin Valley, doing a lot of important work in Kern County around Indian Escuta Prison Pipeline. She's talking to us about an important lawsuit that Dolores Huerta Foundation, along with many other organizations, which we'll get to, who are supporting this lawsuit in the Kern area around Indian Escuta Prison and Indian Harsh Discipline Practice. One of the questions that I had for you, Erica, was that outside of the issue around the suspension rates or even expulsion rates, that the other aspect that I know that Kern County has been struggling around, again, this school-to-prison pipeline, or I like the concept of the school-to-nowhere sort of pipeline, is that the practice of transferring young people outside of their school settings into continuation tracks or often even no track. I know there's been important struggles on the state level on both of those issues. Tell us also, how are those playing out? Because it's not just about the momentary suspension or the momentary impact of the criminal justice system impacting your life from something that happened at school, but also that the school itself is removing the young people almost permanently from their district itself.
Yes, like, what we're seeing now, since we raised these issues about suspension and expulsion, what we're seeing now is a lot of the students are being involuntarily transferred to discontinuation and community school, and we know that discontinuation and community school don't offer the same opportunity that the regular school offer to students, and in some cases we're seeing students being sent to independent study. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about students that are having, some kind of issue that they need the extra support from school. been sent to independent study at home when they have to, you know, see a teacher once a week, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we know the studies show that independent study is poorly suited for, you know, students with, you know, that are having issues at school, that have low attendance, and they, you know, they're not performing as they should. So that's another thing that we're seeing, too, and that's another topic that we're raising in our demand.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the demand itself? So from what I understand, it is, first, who does it target? And two, who are the plaintiffs? And then what is the broad coalition that is moving forward this important lawsuit in Kern County that obviously I think a lot of areas in California, especially in rural communities or communities that are transitioning from primarily being predominantly white or where there is a stronghold by very conservative forces in the educational setting, I think a lot of people are looking at the importance of this lawsuit. So tell us a little bit about both who's it targeting, who's leading it, and then who's supporting it.
Yes, the target is, like I have been mentioned, like the Kern High School District and the Kern County Office of Education, the California Department of Education, and the Superintendent of Education of the State of California. And we're include the Kern County Office of Education because with the new LCFF and LCAP, you know, a lot of community groups, and we're part of the Kern Education Justice Collaborative. It's a group of organizations and individuals that we're working towards, you know, trying to reach educational justice for these kids. Mm-hmm. And we participate in the whole process. We represent in the district with recommendation, you know, because the LCFF, part of the priorities that the state is, has school climate as part of one of the components, and that is suspension and expulsion. And we made recommendations, and the district instead, you know, decided to use some of the supplemental and concentration grants in hiring new school police. Mm-hmm. While we were asking for more counselors and support for students, and we tried to reach the County Office of Education and to the California Department of Education to see, you know, because the district need to send the plan to the counties and to the state to accept that, and they refused to make those changes. So that's why we're targeting the California Department of Education and the Kern County Office of Education, too. And the people behind the demand is just, you know, like I said, a community group says, Fade in Action, Kern County is a community-based organization, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, the National Brotherhood Association. These are the organizations that are part of the demand, along with other individuals that are part of that demand.
And then what are some of the legal groups that are supporting the
legal groups? Yes, of course. We have California Rural Legal Assistance, mm-hmm. that has been providing a lot of trainings for parents since we start working on education. Greater Bakersfield Legal Assistance, Equal Justice Society, mm-hmm. and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, MALDEF, are part of this.
It's a very, interesting array of groups, which I think is exciting that there's sort of a broad united front. And, you know, I didn't quite understand that the piece that you raised, Erica, around the lawsuit also sort of raising issues around the way that the LCAP process around Prop 30, I think for a lot of listeners, I know what you're talking about because, we do a lot of educational work. So for many people who don't know this, that as Proposition Prop 30 that passed maybe 2 or 3 years ago, one of its sort of main pushes was the issue around equity justice and equity funding, and that the funding formula that was created under that plan was to support low-income students, foster care youth, and also English learners. And one aspect of it is that schools with high numbers of these types of students would get additional support from the state outside of the base funding that they got. And as Erica was saying, there is, I believe, about 8 important sort of categories that each district was supposed to show how they were going to use this important money in the terms that they're using as supplemental and concentration funds. And as Erica was saying, that one of the main aspects was this issue around school climate, which for many of the people who do this work, for us, school climate means how do we stop the school to jail? How do we stop and reduce suspensions and expulsions? How do we actually support young people in the school setting? How do we get more counselors? But, you know, Erica, that's important what you just raised around the importance of this lawsuit, too, about people's inaction, especially from the Department of Ed and also the county board, because we saw a very similar thing that played out here in Los Angeles. As you know, we've made important strides here around suspension. It's not just us. It's a lot of groups that are doing work here in Los Angeles. We just signed an important agreement with the police, school police, to decriminalize a lot of things that young people were getting caught up. But on this specific fight around how was that money going to be used, the district itself also used $13 million of the Supplemental and Concentration Fund to pay for the school police here in Los Angeles. So I think in some ways that's exciting to hear that that's one aspect of what is also being raised in this lawsuit. Erica, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was, what does the organizing look like on the ground? What have been some of the things that you feel like you're making important breakthroughs? What are some of the challenges? I know another dynamic that I assume, and this is from far away, a dynamic that's playing out is you have sort of generations of Latino families, both from very first generation, almost literally months probably in the country, to those who've been here longer, to even sort of black and brown tensions that we all sort of all face. How's that work on the ground looking for this work as this coalition sort of moves forward?
Yes. Actually, after we announced the demand on October 9, a lot of people have been calling with, like, numerous stories about, like, how they want to share what happened to them. And, so on the ground, what it looks for us in Kern County, it's we have, like you well mentioned, we have a lot of first generation. Mm-hmm. So people, immigrants that come to this country for the first time, and it's really hard to understand how the school system works and how can they advocate for their kids. So what we have been doing on the ground is try to have training. So Sierra Leone has been providing legal trainings on how the school discipline work, you know, how the due process is, you know, all the steps that the school district has to follow before suspending or expelling a student. And that's basically what we have been doing, educating parents and how the school system work and trying to develop leaders, because they are the first teachers. They are the people in at the home with their students, and they know the best what the students need. So we have been, having trainings with them. Conversation is what I call, because we all share. We share knowledge, and they share their experience and what is happening on the ground.
That's one challenge. Any other sort of things that, as you're sort of moving forward, what are some of the things that you're trying to sort of strategize about, that you're trying to sort of respond in the actual work itself?
Yes. What we have been actually asking to the district is not rocket science. We're asking the district to implement a district-wide positive behavior intervention and support, along with restorative justice practices and trauma-informed practices. And we want the district to really show that, you know, the decrease in suspension and expulsion is because they're implementing a program that is benefiting students, and not, you know, just doing this sidetrack of involuntary transfer or sending kids to independent study. So we want the district to have trainings for teachers of how implicit bias work. I mean, we all have those, and we want the district to do trainings, train the teachers and train the counselor. We want the district to have more counselors for students. So we're having, like, in the 19 school sites that we have in the current high school district, the rate for counselors to students, we have one counselor for every 500 students. Mm. So, for example, Arvin High School has two counselors for almost 3,000 students. So it's impossible for a counselor to really, you know, talk to students and really get to know what every student need, or even for a student to go to a counselor to talk to them about what their career path might be. So that's basically what we're asking the district. And we know school districts such as LA and other school districts are implementing these alternatives in a really successful way. So it's not, you know, we're not coming for something that is out of this world. Mm-hmm. It's something that is proven to be effective, and really proven to be effective to achieve student achievement.
We've been speaking to Erica Brooks. She is the educational manager at the Dolores Huerta Foundation. Dolores Huerta Foundation and other important key organizations in the area of Kern County are leading an important major civil rights lawsuit against the Kern County high school district and many of those who are implicitly sort of supporting their process. I think, Erica, one of the things that a lot of things that obviously, you know, that we do a lot of work around the state, and I think one of the important things about the work that you're doing in the area, so I just want to encourage you to continue doing it, because in some ways there seems to be important breakthroughs in two matters. One is that it's only right that an organization like the Dolores Huerta Foundation is doing work in an area that in many ways the historical figure Dolores Huerta did work on, and that in many ways we know that. I think one of the things that made me think a lot about this issue around the counselors per student is also that we're dealing with a specific type of student in Kern County that is probably very unique than any other area, where probably very high poverty, who have issues around access to getting to school, probably have a lot of issues around work conditions for their family, work conditions for the young person themselves, probably, right? With a long overlay of sort of white power structure that probably has pushed away in many ways real sort of concrete sort of support and progress for parents and students. And so I just really want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I think it seems like very important. And I would just want to say that at least here in Los Angeles, the struggle here, as you can imagine, is that even with these important sort of discipline breakthroughs that we've had, there is still a lot of work to be done so that these victories are also felt on the ground. So really, I really want to thank Eric Brooks, who is with the Dolores Huerta Foundation. Thank you for the work that you're doing. You've been listening to Voices from the Frontlines here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and on the web at kpfk.org. I've been your host for today, Manuel Criollo. Stay for next week. You'll have Eric Mann. And I really want to thank G for supporting us in the back room here. Our producer, Crystal McMillan, for supporting. So stay tuned to the next show. And thanks for being on.